We got a major update. DNI Tulsi Gabbard reveals a whistleblower threat over the Russia hoax.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
It's keep coming. More keeps coming. 1-800-684-3110. Logan Seculo here. Will Haynes is joining me as well. It is a Friday. It is August 1st. Can you believe we've made it here? Summer is wrapping up. A lot of kids are going back to school, but that doesn't mean the news is slowing down. And of course, this is not, once again, more revelations coming out of the Department of National Intelligence. This one, Will, once again, shows the whistleblower activity that was happening inside and how stressful it was happening, because when you look at the details of what Tulsi Gabbard released, it is pretty wild.
That's right. So this is an alleged whistleblower that Tulsi Gabbard has given the kind of the spotlight on right now, that served as deputy national intelligence officer at the National Intelligence Council. That's a function of the Office of Director of National Intelligence. And this individual worked under the DNI at the time, James Clapper. And what this goes on to showcase this whistleblower's allegation is that he or she, it doesn't tell us, it's all redacted when it comes to anything where you could pinpoint who this person is, but that this individual was working on the ICAs.
Just give the internet a day or two. They'll figure it out.
The intelligence community assessments during the 2016 election cycle. Worked on all of the ones leading up to the election, and even on the ICA in 2017, which is that pivotal shift when the intelligence community assessment changed from being Russia's looking to wreak some havoc here, but no real specific candidate they want to win, to they help President Trump win. But where it's alarming.
This is where it gets a little wild, because this is where essentially people inside the Department of National Intelligence, inside the FBI, all these different areas, were almost pushed to risk their jobs, to go against the prerogative of which they were hired for, to ensure Donald Trump did not become the president.
That's right. And so what this whistleblower says is that they were tasked with then doing a review of the 2017 ICA. That's the one that used the Steele dossier and all these things that then changed the narrative. And what said, because they wanted other agencies to sign on to it to make it a stronger document.
Look, yeah.
And this individual said, you know, I don't really know that I agree with these assessments.
You have not shown me the proof.
You haven't shown me the proof. My analytical work hasn't shown that these are the case. And started receiving threats from the superior over promotions.
Yeah. So, I mean, first, let's stop. That's essentially a classic kid. You know, show your work.
Right.
Show what you do here. And he's saying, look, if you want me to sign off on this, you're going to have to be more forthcoming. They say, hey, it's classified information. It's confidential information. And he said, that's fine, but then I can't sign off on this. Then you have a moment where all of a sudden this person's job is at risk, or like you said, promotions. They start dangling things in front of him, not just as come and do this, as if you don't do this.
That's right. And he said, you just need to trust me on this, the superior said, and then went ahead and said that you need to basically abandon your standards that your job here is to do, and had said, you know, if you don't outgrow this inability to do what we say, I don't think we're going to be able to recommend you as a promotion to a senior executive service promotion.
Yeah, hey, look, I mean, I guess it's not dissimilar to what you may have in your current workplace, but when you have it in these kind of departments within our own government. And look, this is why we also have Tulsi Gabbard, who is showcasing this is what's happening, because this doesn't have to end always in a sad story where the person loses their job. Fortunately, this person was actually able to go meet with the right people in the Department of National Intelligence now and get it handled. With that being said, we got 20 seconds left. I want to thank you all for your incredible support of our 35 years of justice drive. It was an amazing month celebrating 35 years. We've got more coming up celebrating 35 years and more of the ACLJ next week. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. I'd love to hear from you. And unlike other shows, we want to hear from you right now. We're not going to wait till the end to have calls. We don't have any other guests coming in this show for this half of the show. So right now, give me a call. Perfect time to call in. 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are still breaking down all the news that came out this week. But a lot of it will kind of stems from a similar situation, which is someone gets pushed, documents get released, and you really see the corruption that was going on. Of course, there's that big question of what can be done. But first, let's actually see it.
That's right. And so what we're seeing is that the director of national intelligence, the CIA director, all of these new members of the Trump team are really getting to the bottom of this in a way that we haven't seen before. And they're getting the documents, they're releasing them, they're getting them declassified. And honestly, it takes some time to go through that process. That's why we're, you know, 7-8 months into the presidency, and we're starting to see this come out now. But this one is interesting because this is a whistleblower that worked on the intelligence community assessments. So the intelligence community assessments before the election all said Russia is interested in messing with the election, causing people to lose confidence in the country, but didn't have a favored candidate. Then after the election, President Obama ordered a new ICA before he left office. That's where the tide shifted, and it all became this situation where it was Trump and Russia were either colluding, he was the favored candidate, and that's what sparked James Comey's investigation and then even led to the special counsel. This is shedding a lot of light on how the members of the intelligence community that have sworn an oath to the Constitution, that are trying to defend the country, how they felt about what they were being told to do. And it also gives more credibility to the claims of people like Tulsi Gabbard that this was a years-long coup. They were trying to get the president and trying to make sure either he was out of office or inability to govern as president of the United States. But I want to go through a couple of these things here. This is shocking, really.
Yeah. I mean, as you do this, remember how we know the administration, the previous administration, treated whistleblowers.
Right.
This is something that has been on the forefront of what the ACLJ work has been over the last half decade. And that is because we know how they treated other whistleblowers. We've represented so many of them. Now, so go back to your mindset. Remember all the people we've had on this broadcast. We'll even play some of the clips from some of them so you can remember what it's like to be one of these whistleblowers during times when they were certainly not being well treated. But when you go through this list, Will, remember, have that in the back of your mind, that this is that administration.
So this individual was working on these ICAs, was even doing things like the presidential daily briefings. And so they were in the middle of all this, and they were doing what they were trained to do, adhering to the high standards of the intelligence community. And then when all of that changed with the 2017 ICA, this person was tasked with doing what's called a scrub, or basically a review, checking the work of the other analysts that went into this. And when the individual looked at it, they said, you know what? I can't concur with all of these things. And they were told, no, listen, we need to get the Defense Intelligence Agency on board. We need to get the CIA. We need to get all these agencies to sign off on this so that we can really show this is what's going on.
And this whistleblower didn't say, I won't agree with it.
Right.
He said, or she said, I don't have the evidence. You're not showing me the evidence here. If you have it, let me see it, and I will consider it. This isn't some radical on the other side, at least as far as we know.
So this is some of the back and forth. This is over a period of time, obviously, but that is being told by this whistleblower to the DNI. It says that there's reporting you're not allowed to see. If you saw it, you would agree. So first trying to say, like, don't worry about it, just sign off on it. The individual that's the whistleblower said that, yeah, there's actually parts of that I agree with, but I need to review the other stuff to be able to make this conclusion. Then another statement, the superior said, hey, isn't it possible Putin had something on Trump, you know, to try to blackmail or coerce him? Doesn't that sound a lot like it just rings true from the CIA director Brennan? But then this individual had a debate and just said, look, my own analysis, I'm not going to alter. I'm not going to lower my integrity just to do what you want here. And this individual learned that the Steele dossier was a major part of it by accident. They weren't supposed to know that, but then started questioning that, found out that James Comey was the one who put the Steele dossier in this ICA at the last minute. But then here's where it also gets down. They keep going back and forth and saying, listen, I'm not going to compromise my standards and the intelligence community just because you want to get to a conclusion.
You have a political agenda.
The superior said, you need to trust me on this. The individual pushed back and said, I can't, that's not my job.
Yeah, everyone's had a boss say that to them.
That's not my job. And then the individual further reiterated that this ongoing invocation that this person needs to abandon their tradecraft standards, and said, listen, your culture, you look at this as though it's almost a pseudo-religion, the way you adhere to your integrity, and said that if you didn't demonstrate your ability to outgrow that, your adherence to integrity and standards, they're not going to be able to recommend him for a promotion. And this person still pushed back. Finally, this individual comes very frustrated, says, I need you to agree with these judgments so that the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, will go along with them. Trying to say, listen, you're the linchpin here. They trust you, so make them trust you and say what we want. Once again, you lose trust with your other agencies. But it didn't end there, because we know that they still went forward with that work product. This individual tried to go through proper channels.
To be a whistleblower.
Right. Tried to blow the whistle, tried to go to the inspector general multiple times. The inspector general gave them the runaround, told them to go to the DOJ. The DOJ didn't help. And that's when the DOJ was really hamstrung by the special counsel, Bob Mueller. But it kept going for years, even well into the Biden presidency, trying to blow the whistle on this, trying to say something's not right. And continually got shut down. Even a report, they tried to go to John Durham to reveal all this, kept getting shut down. Tulsi Gabbard is now bringing this to light.
Jump to August of 2025, and finally this content is revealed, because maybe he could probably, or she could finally get a meeting, finally be heard, because it didn't fit the narrative. And because it didn't fit the narrative, they weren't going to pursue it, and they weren't going to let the whistleblower do what they wanted to do to actually say what was happening, that they were being pushed and pressured and doing something that they not only didn't feel comfortable with, that they thought was wrong. Because it was all about politics. Because that is the problem, is even when the elections are over, because remember, this then happened for four more years, post-election, even when the elections are over, the politics doesn't end in Washington, D.C. It doesn't end on election day and we go, okay, now we're all going to get back together and work. No, everyone's planning on the next move. And with that comes grave consequences. And these are some of those consequences. It's really unfortunate, actually, that this would happen. And we just now hear about it. And it has all of these key players involved. And of course, you do say, well, what can happen from this? What can information can this do? Look, I'm just happy that we're having some transparency at this point.
That's right. And remember, we at the ACLJ have fought for whistleblowers that tried to come forward during the Biden administration to point out the politicization of the government and the weaponization of government against conservatives. This is just another instance of that. But remember, we've won for people like Marcus Allen, and we are still fighting for people like Garrett O'Boyle. And I think you should hear from Garrett O'Boyle. This is a flashback before Congress, because remember, he was punished severely for trying to blow the whistle on politicization of the government and weaponizing it against conservatives. And here's what he had to say about the FBI. And I want you to take these words, what he says about the FBI, knowing they're a part of this, the CIA, the Director of National Intelligence Office, all of these entities are a part of this. And think about how this person who finally got through to Tulsi Gabbard must have felt that entire time. Roll bite three.
All of the hardships you've gone through. If one of your really good friends, your former colleagues, came to you and said, I have this thing that is being covered up, and I think the American people need to know about it, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them first to pray about it long and hard. And I would tell them I could take it to Congress for them, or I could put them in touch with Congress, but I would advise them not to do it.
So you would legitimately try to protect one of your colleagues from doing what you have done?
Absolutely.
And how do you think that solves being able to shine light on corruption, weaponization, any kind of misconduct that exists with the American people?
It doesn't solve it. But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
We're not done fighting for Garrett O'Boyle. We're still fighting for him and any whistleblower that needs protection because, as he said, the FBI will crush you. Imagine how this person feels that was said, you're not going to get a promotion.
Yeah, I'm hoping that right now they're breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief because they're still employed, right? We found that out.
That's right. It does believe that they are still with the Director of National Intelligence.
Which is a miracle in itself. Phone lines are open for you. I'm going to take calls in the next segment. So right now, you can get on hold. Again, I want to thank you for supporting the ACLJ during our last drive. Next week, we'll have some more news to introduce you to. I'm really excited about that. But for today, all we have to say is thank you. So stay tuned to what we're doing here at the ACLJ and on Seculo. But again, thank you to our supporters, our champions, whether you're new or whether you've been around forever. We appreciate it so much. We'll be right back with your calls and comments. Welcome back to Seculo. I do want to take some of your phone calls in this segment. It's about an 8-minute segment, so you got just a couple minutes to call in and get in line. We're going to take some calls. Let's kick it off with Ronald, who's calling in South Carolina, watching on Rumble, one of our favorite free speech platforms. Go ahead, Ronald.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. To comment on all the stuff that is literally being drawn out now in this administration, and that is the tie-in with Hillary Clinton and all of everyone that she's associated with. And I say this, that if they cannot, if Obama and Biden have that immunity status, then everything and everyone below that should be criminally charged who's involved in this thing. And I think one of the main things of their hatred for Trump was the fact that Trump was literally started out as a non-politician that did more in his administration than all the career politicians were able to muster, and they just could not keep up with him, and they were embarrassed by him because of his progressive progress.
Ronald, so back to the first question about Hillary Clinton. Here's where, obviously, this is in the hands of the DOJ. The more we get from Tulsi, the more we see the truth. That's extremely important,
and
we're going to analyze that. But once again, Tulsi Gabbard herself cannot charge someone with a crime. That's up to the DOJ. She sent that criminal referral over, specifically about people within the intel community, John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey. But to the Hillary Clinton nexus on this, this is where the DOJ's investigation is important, because the fact of her signing off on a political dirty trick is not in and of itself a criminal act, right? So how every campaign and every politician in the history of America telling a lie about your opponent would have to be in prison at this point, because that's unfortunately our political game is not really built on truth.
On truth and honesty. Maybe at best you can say they stretch the truth to the point of being unrecognizable.
Right. So I would say, and I don't want to sound like a Hillary Clinton apologist here, but as far as the criminal exposure for her on this specific angle, who knows what the DOJ finds? But what we really do see is that there were people within the government that were taking things they knew to be false, taking things they knew the Russians had already seen and knew to be false in a made-up story, and deciding, here's how we can affect the country. Here's how we can hamstring an elected president. Here's how we can make sure this president doesn't do anything. And that is very dangerous to the democracy. I don't like that the campaign of Hillary Clinton was doing that. But as far as what we know, we don't know how coordinated it was with these agencies and things, if they covered their tracks or not. So that's the real question.
It doesn't
there.
Feel like it, because one of the things that's the most alarming is the amount of people involved in this whole thing that said, this is the dossier is no credibility. This is an issue. I'm not going to do it because I don't agree with your findings. I think this is political bias. You can't listen to this. This is Russian disinformation. It's not like it's Russian information that the American people, including those in the government, fell for. They knew it wasn't true, but they gave them a source to then pretend they thought it was true.
It's almost like they read that stuff from the Dutch got from the Russians that was explaining what Hillary was going to do.
Yeah.
And we're like, kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
What if we run with it?
Yeah.
So it's almost like they took cues from the Clinton campaign via Russia, which almost sounds more like Russian collusion than what they accused President Trump of doing. By using their intel to say, we're going to run with that plan.
What do you think? Phone lines are open for you. I'd love to hear from you. We only got about 4 minutes left in this segment. That is the time you're going to be heard. So give us a call here right now, 1-800-684-3110. I did want to address our YouTube audience, which is growing right now pretty substantially. We're at 511,000 subscribers and millions that watch each week. And the reason that you say, well, Logan, why do you only have 511,000 subscribers? We got millions of people watching each week. It's because about half the people don't subscribe. So I'm looking at you. If you're brand new, and I know a lot of you are, if you look at the back end of our analytics, you can kind of see that about 50% of the people that watch this show each and every day either have never seen us before or are not subscribing. And subscribing really does help. It's not just a vanity number. Hit that subscribe. And if you ring the bell and all that, get notified when we go live, because we go live each and every day from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. But then we're continually churning out new content and clips so you can then be armed with the truth to share those with your friends, especially those short form content that we put out. We'll take clips from this show and other things that we're doing and say you like one topic specifically. It's hard to share 30 minutes or an hour worth of content. Well, it gets caught up into these YouTube shorts and Instagram reels, and you're able to quickly send those to your friends and family who maybe need to be informed on the truth or at least hear a different point of view. The whistleblower thing should be a moment that we all talk about. Hey, look, presidential immunity, we told you what was going to come with that, the good and the bad. Okay? I don't disagree with the ruling, but you got to be honest when you know what's happening here. President Trump even said, President Obama should be thanking me right now, or whatever it was.
He owes me big.
That's
what he said.
I mean, it's a weird way to put, winning a Supreme Court case.
Right. But, I mean, President Trump has a way with words.
You had Triple H in the office in the White House yesterday, and they released a video of Triple H doing his full entrance in front of the White House.
One of my favorite things I've ever seen.
It was one of the greatest American moments I've ever witnessed. I mean, it was jaw-dropping in our household. I absolutely loved it. Of course, Triple H, Paul Levesque, one of the head creatives at WWE, he was actually there to reinstate the presidential physical fitness test,
right?
Which was the bane of my existence.
Right.
So I had this weird pull with this, because I go, I love the Triple H is there, but I think this is a heel turn for me, because I do not want this reinstated personally.
An actual heel turn?
Maybe.
Or is he pretending?
Or is it staged?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'd love to see the reaction on social media where people are like, Triple H, yeah. And then they're like, oh, I got to run a mile. You got to do that 50-yard dash again. I mean, those were the days that you would Ferris Bueller yourself and just be like, make it in. Because only certain kids got the signature. My wife reminded me that. Remember, you'd get a certificate from the president if you completed it, but not if you completed it only. You had to hit a certain level to get that certificate.
Right. Did you get a vice president certificate?
Yeah, I got a Dan Quayle. There's multiple spelling errors and typos on it.
You ran well.
Man, that's a throwback joke.
That was definitely a throwback.
Those are for all of you 80s and 90s kids that are watching. Well, we got a minute and 45 seconds left here.
I think it is important to remind people, though, that we are still fighting for Garrett O'Boyle.
Yeah,
he was at the FBI that was sidelined. They were moving his family halfway across the country, all the way across the country, and he was put on leave and had his security clearance suspended halfway through the journey. They couldn't get their possessions out, and that was how the Biden administration treated individuals that had something contrary to say, that said, hey, this government is weaponized against conservatives. We should do something about this. And that's how they treated him. We're still fighting for him. And we hope to have something resolved for him this is a new administration.
Yeah, we have an open petition right now, actually, on our website. If you're on our YouTube channel, you'll see they keep putting in the comments at ACLJ.org. You'll find it. But it's also a great place to read about this story or watch some of the interviews we've done with him. If you're brand new, you may not have been involved when Garrett O'Boyle was on the air pretty regularly talking about this. But like you said, we're continuing to fight, and we may have updates, because this is an ongoing issue, an ongoing case at the ACLJ. With that being said, appreciate everyone. And I want to thank you all for joining us during this month of July, our 35 years of justice drive. Your generosity did not go unnoticed, and know how much we appreciate it. Now, as we head into August, back to school time, we're going to have brand new stuff to reveal coming up. Now, that being said, what you're going to hear for the next half hour, we want to take you back to some of the best of the things that we've had this week. It's been a packed show. So the next half hour is a bit of an encore presentation. Thank you so much. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back on Monday.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
You know, I was wrong about something. Will Haynes told me we're only going to do a first half hour of the show today. Then we're going to play some best of content, you know, because we've had such a packed week with all the different things. And I said, okay, great. And one of the things you have to do legally, you know, because we're on terrestrial radio, is say, hey, we are not live for the next 30 minutes. But guess what? We're at least live for the next few minutes because, you know, someone gave me the wrong clock, but it's all right. It's okay. Well, I thought I was going to early start to my vacation, but no, here we are. I want to take a phone call because why not? Maggie's calling, who is an ACLJ champion. Maggie, we got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and God bless you all for all the work you've been doing. My question is, I've heard you say just shortly a time ago that Hillary's probably not going to be criminally held liable just because she planned a dirty trick on
not necessarily.
We haven't seen what directly they would go for with that, especially within the statute of limitations that would point to some criminal exposure there. But go ahead, Maggie. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you did. My question was, she sent her attorney, Michael Sussman, to take that dossier to the FBI to open up a false investigation against Donald Trump. And seems to me that if you send false evidence and some type of investigation that you know to be false, that there should be some criminal liability to that.
So
is that right or wrong?
Well, and once again, Maggie, that's where we need to see how the DOJ interprets a lot of this and what exactly the way Michael Sussman. So for a reminder for people, he was someone that did take allegations of that Alpha Bank connection. That was a bank in Russia that they said had this direct line to Trump Tower. It was false. It was a part of the whole hoax. But he did take information to James Baker, who was the general counsel of the FBI, trying to get the FBI to add fuel to the fire, as the Soros Foundation individual said. So once again, now, Michael Sussman was indicted because he lied to the FBI. He told them he did not work for any campaign. He did work for Hillary Clinton. So he has already faced some criminal exposure. But whether or not the telling a lie and moving that to the FBI, whether that is seen as a part of the conspiracy, if they were coordinating with that, I think those are the type of things that the DOJ would have to suss out when it comes to Michael Sussman.
I felt that coming.
We'll find out whether or not they can go down that path or what comes of
you
this.
Can't you suss know, the Sussman.
That is something I just don't feel like we have the ability to speak to.
Who
at this
susses
point.
The Sussman? That's what I say. Graphic novel.
I got it.
All right.
It's a good one.
It is pretty good. Frank Miller.
Hope that helps, Maggie.
Frank Miller's, you know, the Sussman. All right. We got a minute
Happy
and a half
Friday.
Now. It is Friday. We're headed on vacation, I guess, Will, because you said there's so much good. By vacation, I mean we'll be back Monday. By vacation, I mean the weekend. Like,
that's
you
like,
know,
you
normal
heard,
people.
You've heard that there's like Gen Z. I guess that's younger than us. Whatever.
That is younger than us.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have discovered this thing called micro-retirement. And they had a big article about it. It's where every 12 to 24 months, you take a week or two off work.
Oh.
But they're calling it micro-retirements, to which everyone else is like, oh, they discovered a vacation.
Yeah.
You're now taking a page out of their playbook and calling the weekend micro-vacation.
Yeah. It's a tiny vacation.
Just a small one.
Just a small one. All
we
right.
We do it every week.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Not every week.
No, that's
fair. We've got pretty busy lives. Look. We got a minute left in this segment. I'm going to tell you thank you, and I'm going to tell you the truth, which is the next 25 minutes is best of 25 minutes from this past week. Some great content. You're not going to miss. We had great guests. We went over some great stuff. Stuff that should be heard more than once. That's why we do that. It's not just because Will and I want to get out of work early. It's also because it's kind of sad. We put all this work into these shows, and then after, you know, all the 24-hour cycle, they go away forever. So we want you to hear some of the best of the week. You can obviously take those clips, send them to your friends. And again, I want to thank you for joining us during that 35 years of Justice Drive. And next week, we'll be unveiling our next big one. You're going to enjoy it. We're going to have some fun in the next month of August as your kids go back to school. Sad summer's ending, but we're not going to stop there. With that, again, I want to thank you. Check out ACLJ.org. You'll learn more about this whistleblower information. There's a great treasure trove of information there. gets it filled up, and then they go away. So I'm going to ask you to call back if you want to be on the broadcast today. Not if you, if they told you, we're not going to take your call today. Well, then maybe it just wasn't on topic, whatever it may be. But if you are looking to get on the air, give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. I want to quickly actually take this call because it can set up where we're going. Those of you just tuning in, you may have seen the news. You may have seen the headline that Dan Bongino released a pretty disturbing statement on X. And the, absolutely it is. And I kind of pose the question, do you think this is a deflection? Or do you think he's being sincere with this? Because some of the language, things like, I'll never be the same after learning what I've learned. And I am shook, shocked me down to my core what he's learned in the last few months in his position. That's pretty aggressive commentary. Let's go to Angie, who's calling in Florida, who is watching on YouTube, where thousands of you are joining us right now live. If you've never seen us before, you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. We do the show each and every day. Angie, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, if Dan Bongino is a true patriot, he has been preaching this on TV, on his podcast, and if he is shocked to the core with what he has found, the corruption must be awful.
Yeah, I mean,
and we as other patriots need to recognize that and give them the time to do the right investigation and get these people out of our government.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people see that comment. And again, we brought it up in the last segment. When you hear those words coming from this guy who has spent the last 4 years, 5 years, whether it was on his Fox News show, his social media show on Rumble, being a pretty straightforward, like you said, patriotic guy who also is not afraid to run from controversy or to run from conspiracy even. When he starts throwing out these comments, like I said, he better be able to back him up because his commentary of his historical brand, if you will, says he needs to be able to do that.
Well, and I think I look at this two different ways, right? The jaded me, the one that has seen a lot of people in government make promises and not deliver on big things that are going on, thinks nothing's going to come out of this. But the analyst in me, the one that has watched a lot of this, that knows about Dan Bongino, and this statement coming from him makes me think we will get something out of this. And when you take the whole context of the frustrations that were reported about his disagreements with the attorney general, that he was upset that she went out and made big claims about releasing things and then didn't have anything to actually release or go through. So if that's what upset him so much, that there were reports out there, widely reported, that he was considering stepping down because she made statements out publicly
that he had left at one point
and then didn't really deliver on that. You have to think, one, he wouldn't be in the business right now of making some hyperbolic statement and then having nothing to deliver. You also have to think that he's confident enough that what they are doing will be released because he says we are going to get the answers we all deserve. So I believe Dan Bongino here. I want to see the truth come out. I also, as we've said, I want them to do it the right way. I don't want some manufactured intel report like the Obama administration did to try to destroy President Trump. I don't think that Dan Bongino would do something like that. I know he wouldn't. But I also want it to be done the right way so that if there is legal accountability that can be held, if there is just other ways that it can go about it, that more accountability can be had. I want the truth, but accountability also. So do it the right way. Don't put it out too early and make sure you've gotten it all buttoned up so that it will stick and that the left will have no opportunity to try to poke holes in it and tear it down as some sort of fake news.
Well, President Obama, we know, spent the last few weeks, he's been talking about, you know, what's the proper age to cut off eating ketchup? And that became a whole controversial moment on Michelle's podcast. So much so that I think today he had to put out a statement talking about his support for the Palestinian people and how he needed to do that. I think that was just that was his distraction away from that hot ketchup talk.
I'm really glad my algorithm had none of the ketchup talk.
If you're over 8 years old, no more ketchup.
That's what he said?
Yep.
How was that man ever our president?
Yeah,
ketchup is one of the most American things.
In his defense, Michelle and Michelle's brother, I believe, who co-hosts that with her, they gave him a hard time about that.
Good.
But he doesn't like it. Doesn't like ketchup. Maybe if you want to put it on your fries, put a little on a cheeseburger, not on a hot dog. Disgusting.
What? What about a hamburger?
Only till you're eight. And then that's the cutoff. She said it used to be 14.
Okay.
He's now moved it to 8. All right, we got to move on. But he did put out a statement today about, we should actually pull that up and make sure we have
that. Can you impeach him for that retroactively?
I mean, that's
a pretty high crime and misdemeanor right there.
Trump is a love ketchup on everything. Let's go to Melissa, who's calling in on line one. Let's get that post, though, actually, from Barack Obama. Not the ketchup one. The one on the Middle East that he put out this morning. Because I'd like to be able to reference that a little bit later. Let's go to Melissa in South Carolina. Go ahead, Melissa. You're an ACLJ champion. First, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I am calling because I truly believe that Dan Bongino is trying to calm down the people that have been following him. He has over 200,000 followers. But also the thing that really makes me question, he was working for the Secret Service with the Obamas. So if he found out something that is earth-shattering, it happened during his watch, and maybe that's why it shakes him to the core.
Yeah, I want to clarify. I mean, just on X, he has 7 million followers. So right. I want to make sure that those, I don't want to belittle the following of Dan Bongino. When he left his show on Rumble, it was by far their number one show.
Right.
He was doing 100,000 plus live viewers each show. So I want to obviously just clear up that fact. But Melissa, again, there's a lot of people in the comments right now saying that we put a clickbait headline. I don't really understand that.
No.
Maybe because you tuned in during the catch-up talk. This is not a clickbait headline. Because Dan Bongino, to summarize, went on X and said, during his tenure here already as the deputy director of the FBI, he has he's talked about things. We skip forward just a little bit. What I've learned in the course of our properly predicted and necessary investigation, or predicated necessary investigations into these aforementioned matters, has shocked me down to my core. We cannot run a republic like this. I'll never be the same after learning what I've learned. That is either incredibly hyperbolic talk, or he has information that has genuinely shocked him. Like you said, Melissa, he was a member of the Secret Service. He was a part of these. He's been inside the swamp, if you will, before. So this is something new that could have been happening during the Biden administration. Heck, it could be happening still during the Trump administration, because we know those actors are still all around.
Right. We know that the FBI and the course of action that they chose to take after getting the marching orders from James Comey wasn't on the up and up during the first Trump administration. So even things that could have been happening under President Trump doesn't mean it was President Trump allowing it to happen. That's the deep state. That's what we've been talking about for 8 years now, almost 10 years in some cases. So you have to look at it from one, the knowledge he has and the things he's already talked about. If he's making a statement that bold, he believes that this is earth-shattering, as well as the reports that he was upset with the attorney general with the way that she rolled out stuff on the Jeffrey Epstein case and then didn't really have anything to give, was damaging to the reputation of the FBI and the Department of Justice. That upset him to the point there were reports he was considering resigning. So I don't think he'd be making just a hyperbolic statement just a few weeks after that entire blow up. But then also the good news is, we are going to conduct these righteous and proper investigations by the book and in accordance with the law. We are going to get the answers we all deserve. That is wonderful news, because that's what we've been fighting for long, long time.
It's the opposite of what we had. And look, a lot of you are calling in right now at 1-800-684-3110. It's going to take a minute to screen through all these calls. We do have one line open right now, too, actually, because one person just hung up. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get more information from you. In the next segment, CeCe Hiles is going to be joining us. We have an update on the Planned Parenthood situation. You're not going to love this. Just going to be honest. You're not going to hear some great news. But that means the ACLJ's got to double down. We got to be there more than ever. So you're going to take a listen coming up in the next segment to what CeCe has to say and what we can do to fight back. It is another big moment. It is one that we cannot really just sit on our hands. The comments are still coming in. I'm going to end up fighting with the audience again today. Well,
I'm here for it.
Because they're saying, well, this was old news. He posted this on Saturday, and I don't know if you know this. We don't have a show on Sunday, so...
We didn't say breaking news.
Shocking news. Did I say breaking?
No.
No, I don't think I did. So. No, I think I said in a shocking, disturbing.
Right. Yeah, and it happened.
And it was, for most people, yesterday.
Right.
So, I'm just going to throw that out there. One line's open for you. 1-800-684-3110. 3 days left. 3 days left in our 35 years of justice drive. And then in August, we have a brand new campaign for you that I'm excited to talk about as well. But we are really close to hitting our budget. Things are a little down this year with the economy, with everything that's going on in the world, with sort of the tariffs and the unsettled nature that's happening. It's really hard to have an organization run at full capacity when there are all these obstacles. So if you do have the financial means, this is a great way to do it, because ACLJ supporters and champions are ready to unlock a pledged donation and match any donations that are made. So do that and do it right now. You can scan a QR code on your screen and go to ACLJ.org, any donations made. If you decide to become a champion, you already heard a couple champions on the air today, all you have to do is opt in. Your first donation will unlock one of those double. Again, you're not getting charged double. That's someone else just saying, I'm going to donate whatever they donate. I'm going to match their donation. It only happens a few times a year that we're able to offer that. So I want you to do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Help us beat the month. We are so close, and we could do it with you to help us just take us over the top. If you've already made your donation, if you can do more, do it. If not, make sure you're liking us and subscribing and doing all that, because I'm looking at how people are watching us. Not all of you have seen us before. Hit that sub button. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. It's time to take your calls and comments. And you know what? There have been people who've been on hold for 32 minutes. And we'll get to you next. But we get to go to Terry first, who's only been on hold for a minute and a half. And that is because Terry is an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis. And I have made my own personal perk for being a champion, which you get bumped to the front of the line because you are saying each and every month you support the work of the ACLJ, make it part of your monthly living and know how much we appreciate it. It's just a little fun thing we get to do for you. Terry, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just referencing, I think yesterday, the caller made the comment about useful idiots, and the only ones I see are the mainstream media, because when I was in Iraq 20 years ago, we had to fight that between Al-Qaeda and our own media, and that's a lot of what's going on now in Gaza and everything.
Yeah, Terry, we appreciate, obviously, your service that you were over there and working so hard, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate those who give and support the ACLJ, because like I've said before, and Terry, you brought it up, there's kind of two big versions of the ACLJ that exist. Now, they're the same entity, but you have media and legal, and they go hand in hand. But we can't have the best of the best in legal and the best of the best in media. And we can't be creating fully independent media, which is what I love that we get to do. There is no one above us, you know, other than God, saying, here's what you need to go do. There isn't a corporate overlord that is telling me what to tell you right now. That's why we're able to be honest. I'm able to just tell you how I feel. We don't have corporate sponsors like that. All we can do is tell you the truth. I have no benefit of doing anything else. So Terry, when you support the work of the ACLJ on a monthly basis, I hope it shows. I hope you know it's because we're being honest with you, honest with our audience. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Now let's move over to Cyrus, who's in North Carolina, watching on one of our newer outlets, Salem News Channel. But you have been on hold for a while. I know it's a little bit of a left turn in terms of the comment you want to make, but you know what? Let's have at it. Go ahead, Cyrus.
Yeah, yes, sir. You guys do a wonderful job, and I appreciate everything you do. But I was watching TV recently, just about 30 minutes ago, and I saw Chuck Schumer giving an address about how Donald Trump is breaking all of his things he promised through his quest to be reelected. And the one thing they were talking about was, of course, this Jeffrey Epstein thing. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're lying, and I don't like the fact that they're lying blatantly to the public, and it's being broadcast over everything else.
Well,
and lies don't need to be going on.
Yeah, Cyrus, I mean, of course, that's one of those fun issues that kind of switched places,
right?
Where all of a sudden you had conservatives you had the Trump administration that kind of ran on it. They kind of ran on, we're going to release all the information, and now you have you had liberals going, don't do that, because it's going to probably implicate our guys. But then now, and President Trump is like, there's nothing to release, and Pam Bondi, all of a sudden the liberals are like, oh, how dare you? You told us you were going to release it. So, of course, it's one of those flip-flop issues that is just used in marketing.
Well, and Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader of the House of Representatives, decided he was going to go all in on that. They're sending Democrat fundraising emails about the Epstein files, which is such a bizarro world.
That's
because
what I mean, yeah.
they literally are, they're mocking people that have had a vested interest in this by using this as their political tool. Because when they were in power, this was a thing that people talked about,
and
they did nothing about it.
Yep.
And now that there is movement and it's in the news, the fact that the New York Times and MSNBC and Washington Post are running headlines about the Jeffrey Epstein thing is so shocking because it's like when people were saying, why won't the media cover this? They wouldn't touch it. But all of a sudden, now that they can hurt Trump, they're going to do it. It's that blatant. It's the same thing that they do, though. They use what they can to politically damage conservatives and President Trump, and they will continue to do it because that's what those institutions unfortunately have become.
We got a couple more calls. Let's continue on. Ronald in South Carolina. If you do want to call in, this is probably your last chance. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Ronald, South Carolina, watching on Rumble. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, it was just a comment that you had made to ask a question about what do we think about the Russian and the Ukraine war. And I believe that it would not have been a war if the Biden administration had kept the sanctions that Trump had made over the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. But now he's funding his war and literally holding Western Europe hostage because all the gloves have been taken off of Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
Ron, and Russia literally. We know you listen frequently. We know you're very informed. You're exactly right. The fact of the matter is that Russia didn't invade Ukraine during the first Trump administration. They did invade Ukraine under President Obama. They did invade Ukraine under President Biden. Facts matter. That tells you something.
And Trump always says it's good to be at least like 5% they believe that you're crazy and could actually get to war.
But also, you think about this. The fact that we played that bite earlier from President Obama where he said, hey, give me some flexibility. I have to act strong now, but then I'll be more flexible after I get elected. When Democrats accuse you of doing something, they're always projecting. And we saw the entire Russia collusion narrative that they cooked up that we've been talking about a lot over the last couple weeks because of all the new intel that's coming out. It's because they were the ones that were favorable to the Russians. That's when Russia would invade. That's when Russia all of a sudden could get the oil revenue again. The real people that were helping Russia, and I'm not saying colluding in any sort of way like that, but that were actually making the deals with Russia and doing things, putting forward policies that were favorable to the Russians, was not Republicans and President Trump. It was the Democrats the whole time.
And big catch up.
Big catch up. Yeah. He didn't like it.
Nope. Obama said, after you're 8, he wants to ban it.
That tells you everything you need to know, because catch up is an American treasure.
Let's go quickly to Candy in Georgia, because ketchup is Will's candy. Let's go ahead and go to Candy in Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey there. Will might have just answered. I'm not sure. Since we did an illegal deal during Obama with Biden Ukraine, why are we helping Ukraine?
Well, we got about 45 seconds.
Well, I don't know that it was necessarily an illegal deal. Right, but
illegal, unethical.
The biggest problem is that we are on the world stage. We're not necessarily supporting Ukraine in the fact of like they are the way that the left made Ukraine being the perfect country for some reason.
Where you're waving the flag.
But I think what President Trump has always said is, I want these wars that are destabilizing to world order to end. I want people to stop dying, and that's something noble. And I think we should all agree that just killing for the sake of killing it should not be going on.
No, absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We only have a minute left, so I'm going to encourage you in this next minute to pray about, think about, and take a look at ACLJ.org. We offer so many free services, whether that's legal help for absolutely no cost. Understand that. When you become a client of the ACLJ, there's no cost to you. But that is because amazing people like you put your money where your mouth is and says, I'm going to stand up for the ACLJ because I believe in what they do. I like this show. I like the programming they offer. I like the blogs they offer. I like the legal work that they do, that they take action. I like that they have offices all around the world, whether that's in Washington, D.C., Nashville, Tennessee, Strasbourg, France, so many other places, Jerusalem. And it's all because people like you support the work. So I'm going to ask you to throw up that QR code right now and go to ACLJ.org if you're just listening, because it means so much to us. When you do that, you're also supporting this broadcast. So again, do it today, as all donations are doubled through the end of the month, and we are just about here at the end of the month. So help us finish strong. Your donations matter right now, and they are doubled. So again, go to ACLJ.org. Become a champion if you can, and your first donation will be doubled. Talk to you tomorrow.